What is up? Welcome to the show. MiFi's in the house, and I'm stoked. It's been a minute. I took a little time off for the summer and to kind of regroup, and it's awesome to be back. Got Lauren Spring on the show, incredible songwriter, artist. You're going to love it. Make sure to subscribe wherever you're at. Just hit subscribe, and then share the podcast with somebody. I'm telling you, we're taking a little bit of a turn in the format and the vibe of the podcast, and I'm super excited about it, and I'm going to tell you more about it later, but hit in just a minute. Hit subscribe and follow us on socials. You can follow at MiFi Podcast, or you can follow at Lee T. Baker, which is my personal stuff everywhere, TikTok, Instagram, at MiFi Podcast, at Lee T. Baker. And yeah, let's get into it. Yeah. We're back. We're here. Ready for another episode. Episode 34. They've been going. It's been over a year we've been doing this, and I'm super excited. I took a little time off, reconvened, and thought about, you know, what MiFi is really about. And I don't know if I've ever shared this on the podcast. I have, you know, recently on social and talked a little bit about this new direction. But MiFi came from the name. It's not lo-fi or hi-fi. It's MiFi. So fidelity, low fidelity or high fidelity recordings, if you're not familiar with this terminology, fidelity has to do with clarity. And so when somebody says something's lo-fi, it's low clarity. It's low quality. If somebody says it's hi-fi, it's high fidelity, high quality. And MiFi is about you finding your clarity, your quality, you know, as a creative person. And that's what the podcast is about. We're taking a little bit of a turn in the purpose and the direction. Same great interviews, great artists, musicians, creative people that you love, but hopefully in just a more inspiring and helpful kind of way. And we start that today with Lauren Spring's episode. So I'm super excited about it. We're going to be diving into just not just the music that inspires people, but their creative processes, their creative rhythms, their excitement, their insecurity, all sorts of things that we as creative people deal with. And not just musicians, but like graphic designers, photographers, filmmakers, directors, whatever it may be, novelists, whatever you may be doing. As creative people, we all have goals and struggles and things we want to achieve and things we're excited about and things we go through, and we share more than we realize. And so I'm super excited about talking about this a little bit more. And I'm super excited about the interview today with Lauren Spring. She became a fast friend during the interview. I never met Lauren before, but she worked with a friend of mine named Weston T. Hine, who's been on the podcast before. Weston and I have been friends for a long time and have written together and worked together on music a lot. He released a song called White Flag, which you should go check out. He's at Weston T. Hine on socials. Lauren is at Lauren_Spring on socials. And White Flag is on both of their music profiles on Apple Music and Spotify and all that sort of stuff. And Lauren was featured on Weston's song White Flag, and that's how I became familiar with her voice and work. And I hit Weston up, was like, hey man, you think she'd do the podcast? She jumped at it, and I was grateful because we had a great conversation. And so we do it. One of the things that I want to keep from the previous format of MiFi is the featured record. And I always want to talk about music that I'm listening to because I think that that's helpful. I have friends in the graphic design world and the animation world and the filmmaking world. And one commonality is we all kind of, we listen to something, you know, while we're working. Maybe you do too. Maybe you got a go-to playlist or whatever. And a lot of times if I'm working on something that's not musical, you know, because we all got stuff we got to, you know, if you work in the creative world, you got to do your QuickBooks, or you got to send emails, or you got to update your website or whatever. I have vinyl playing. You see in the background, there's like vinyl everywhere behind me. And so I love having a featured record each episode. And this time it's a newer album. This is going to be in my top 10 albums of 2023, no doubt. British R&B artist Ray, her debut full length album, My 21st Century Blues. I follow a guy named Dwayne Sanford on Instagram. He's a drummer, incredible drummer from the UK. He played drums for Dua Lipa on the Future Nostalgia Tour. And so I was follow him because I think he's awesome. And I saw him pick up he's also on this Ray gig, or he has played with her or something. And I heard a single of hers, Escapism, which is one of my favorite songs, maybe my second favorite song. There's a bunch of great tunes on here. I'll say it's my favorite for now. Anyway, became familiar with Ray through following Dwayne. Added her single to a playlist, jammed it, loved it, listened to the rest of the record. It just came out right at the beginning of the year in January. You should go check it out. Ray, R-A-Y-E. And the record is My 21st Century Blues. So check it out. Featured record of the episode right there. Now, let's get on. Lauren Spring, now a great friend following our super fun interview. She's an incredible Americana solo artist, as well as one of the founding members of the Crickets, who've been around for about 8 years. It's a folk group. It's been celebrated by magazines like American Songwriter and Pace Music. She's racked up almost 4 million streams of her music just in the past several years. We talk about writing really seriously as a solo artist, and a co-writer just kind of happened for her during COVID. And it's a great story. I'll let her tell. She released her last EP on the UK label, Saint in the City Records. It's called I Remember You. Her brand new single, Where You Belong, is streaming everywhere now. We recorded this episode in August. It's debuting in September of 2023, this episode now you're listening to. And so that is available. And also, the Crickets, her all-female, folk group, has a new single out as well called Pay No Mind that just came out on August 31st. And obviously you can go stream White Flag as well. So go check out all that. Crickets is spelled with a K. Want to make sure you know all that good stuff. And we'll put some links to all that music in the show description if you'd just like to click there. You can follow Lauren, like I mentioned, on social media at Lauren_Spring. Or you can check out her website at laurenspringsongs.com. And yeah, you should do all those things. Stream the music, check out her stuff, and enjoy this interview I have with my friend, Lauren Spring. Lauren Spring, how are you?
I'm great, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. We're just talking down there in the Florida Panhandle. You got the fine Wi-Fi working, huh?
It's the best. Only the best for you.
I will say, that's one. We have to deal with traffic up here around Atlanta, and it's awful. But the Wi-Fi is pretty great. So I don't know. You make trades.
The Wi-Fi is pretty great in any city. We don't even have a Publix or a Target like within 40 miles of me. So, like,
oh my God.
But I also am staring at the Gulf of Mexico, or at least Port St. Joe Bay, and it's stunning every morning. So yeah, it's just a give or take. You just have to pick your poison, I guess.
That's awesome. Sounds like an inspiring place to write music.
I love it. I really do.
I've been fishing down there before.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I've ever stayed there. Like, I mean, you know, stay there and grab a meal or whatever, but I hear it's awesome.
Well, it's changed a lot. It's a lot more reflective of like what the 38 area after Hurricane Michael and so much had to be sort of like knocked down and built back up. It's just the vibes changed, and it is so busy here. It's so different.
Really?
Yeah. It's just
that's wild.
Totally different thing than it was even 6 years ago. It's just you would not recognize it. I mean, there is a three, like, I don't know, a couple blocks from my house, like, and I'm right on the water. There's a hotel going up at this old campsite marina that it's like a fancy hotel. You know, it's wild to watch all these changes, but
that's crazy.
You know,
I may try to make my way over there. I'll actually be down there this week. I'm coming down there to write with our mutual friend, Wes.
You are. I'm so jealous. Yeah. I would try to crash. I was right. If I'm going to Nashville this weekend to write for the next few days, but yeah, I would try. It would be so mean and rude and try to crash anything
y'all are
doing.
It'd be great. Yeah. That's how you got on my radar. White Flag's incredible. And Wes, who's also been on the podcast, he was on one of the very first episodes of the podcast. I played a show with him, I don't know, a few months ago, and we did White Flag, and he just kind of had the demo, and he was like, yeah, this girl singing, like, man, she's incredible. She's, you know, with this band, but she does solo stuff too, and it was just raving about you. And then I heard the track, was like, this is awesome. And then when it dropped, I was like, oh, I need to have her on the podcast. And anyway, White Flag's great, and the new single's great, which is not out at the time when we're recording this, but by the time everybody hears it, it'll be out too. So
yes,
stoked for that one too.
I am too. I'm really excited about new music coming out. But just to touch on what Wes is doing, I'm super grateful. Weston Hines is who we're talking about if y'all are looking for his music. But he released this really beautiful song called White Flag, which I wish I could say I had even a little bit part, any part of writing. I didn't. He just called me and asked me, and we barely knew each other. We'd written like one time. He was like, "Will you jump on this song with me?" And I said, "Of course. I mean, hell yeah, I will." And I'm so glad because it just turned out so beautiful. He's such a great writer. And he kind of gave me the space to do what I was going to do. And I just like, I always just kind of go nuts and overdo vocally anything that I can like throw at the program. And then I send it all to them and let them, you know, just pare it down to whatever they want. But I love what he did. And it's just such a great song. So definitely go listen to it if you get a chance.
Yeah, check out Weston T. Hine on all his socials, and the song White Flag's on his Apple Music and Spotify profile, and it's also on Lauren's profiles as well.
Yeah,
so you can check it out. Now, I know, like, obviously you're a recording artist, and as Lauren Spring, and also with the Crickets, which you've been with for several years now.
Yeah.
But it seems like you primarily have been a Reiner.
Yeah. Is that- Well, I really only got real serious about writing during COVID. I was dying for a creative outlet. I didn't know what to do when, you know, if you're used to touring all the time and you're suddenly no longer, you know, on stages with people clapping for you every 3 minutes, you have a you have a crisis and you have this terrible breakdown where you have to figure out, you know, well, how in the world am I going to feed this part of myself that I didn't even know was maybe this unhealthy? Like, I didn't realize that I needed this so badly, and just meaning like creative outlet. And so I really started to write. I started to get into co-writing with people. I mean, people I'd never met, people in the Netherlands, people in, you know, across, I mean, in California, they, or, you know, like here, like I have a couple like Wes, like I could travel 30 minutes and go have co-writers, but mainly, once I started going down that path and started writing, and writes lead to more writes, and you meet more people. And if you're any good at it or you enjoy it, you know, you find your tribe and you find your people. And it's just opened up a ton of doors. And now I do get to go to Nashville and go write in rooms I still pinch myself. I can't believe I get to go. I don't know how, why they let me in. I can't believe I still feel like a terrible imposter all the time. But I'm just grateful. And I really don't care what genre it is. I just want the opportunity. Every single song is kind of like dumping a puzzle out on the table, you know. And I don't really know what the picture is going to be at the end, but all I want to do, it's like the high of making everything fit, and it just, you know, and making it sound good and feel good. And whatever song that is for any artist we're writing with, it's a high for me. So I love it. But I've been a writer a long time. But really only seriously since COVID. So that's not really a long time.
That's crazy.
I wrote, of course, plenty of songs for myself and for, and with the Crickets, which is my female Americana group I'm with, and we've been together for about 8 years now and touring and done all kinds of fun projects together. We have two studio albums and a couple of different singles and everything. But we have, writing with them is a joy. Writing with, you know, a random artist is a joy. Writing for myself is torture, but it's like also.
What's the difference? Why is that? What's the difference?
Isn't it strange? I wish that I could. I wish I had a ready answer for that, but I think it's just, I love when an artist gives you this raw material and you get to shape it and say, oh, you know, like, what if we did this here? How about this? And it's not your perspective or words. It's someone else's, but you're just helping mold it. You're just a helper. Yeah. But when it's your words or your perspective, or it's art that will now have your face and name on it, there is some kind of just crippling, you know, anxiety around what you're totally putting out. And so much slower and so much, I mean, every word is agonizing, every, you know, but I also, it's often because I'm the one agonizing over it. I'm sure my co-writers aren't, you know, I think they leave the room and they're like, great song, cool. Like I leave a room with another artist, but with me, if it's for me, it's definitely, you know, I guess it means more. I don't know another way to say that. I don't mean to belittle any art I've put together with someone else, but
no.
If it's yours, well, you want it to say what you want it to say.
And yeah, I think it's like being an aunt or an uncle versus being a mom or a dad. Like you're responsible for the outcome.
That's a great analogy. That's perfect.
Yeah, as an artist, I've always felt the same way. Like I haven't written for myself. I released one single during COVID and it took so much work. And I have this friend that I write with from time to time. And every time we get together, it'll be like 2 hours, we'll finish a song and we're done. Like it's done and we've demoed it and it's over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can't I just do this, you know, for my own stuff. But I'm the same way. I have songs I'm sitting on that I was talking to a friend this morning going, I promise I'm going to make this record, you know.
I've been saying that for 2 years to all my co-writer friends. I swear it's in the works.
Well, and then something else comes up and you're working on somebody else's stuff and you keep putting your own stuff to the back burner. At least that's the way it is for me. I keep going, yeah, I'll get to that. My own stuff doesn't pay like the other stuff.
Tell
me
about it.
You know what I'm saying? Were you always like, let me ask this. Did you grow up where you are in Mexico Beach? Where are you from?
No, I'm actually like, I grew up in South Georgia, in Albany, Georgia. So,
okay.
Like in the thick of all of the, like, there's a reason why I can go to these places in my mind to write a country song. Cause I 100%, you know, grew up in those trucks and in those fields and, you know, like trying not to die in some field. 14 from alcohol poisoning, like all that stuff, all those, you know, all of those memories and those
Gen
experiences.
X,
woo, I mean, we had no supervision at all, but that experience is there. So, you know, when it's time to draw on that and write from that place, it's easy, but it's definitely so far from like the world I'm living in now. Like I'll take my South Georgian roots with me wherever I go. But down here, I've been in, down here in Port St. Joe for the last 20 years or almost 20 years. So I went to the University of Georgia after high school, moved to Atlanta for 10 minutes. And then, my husband and I just decided we, instead of doing Atlanta and like all our friends are there, all like they're doing the Atlanta thing. Mm-hmm. We were just like, he had some opportunity to come own a business down here. So we moved and it was crazy because I didn't know anybody and I had to, you know, create a space for myself here and figure out what I was going to do and how I was going to eat and make money and, you know, explore whatever I wanted to do. But that's how I ended up down here. So I feel like that perspective is really weird. So I've got like weird Jimmy Buffett beach girl vibe. Plus South Georgia girl, whatever. And then like 100%, you know, the emo Americana artist within, she's always trying to like break out. So, you know, it's a lot of weird influences, but.
Was your family musical? Like, did you grow
my,
up
my dad?
Musical?
Yeah. My mom is the family rock and my dad is the musician. And I mean, I think, I was looking at one of your questions and my first musical memory was 100%. I had to really think about this, but my first musical memory that I have, that might not be like a nursery rhyme being sung to me or something is when I was 3 or 4, I lived in Gainesville, Florida for like a minute with my family. And I just remember the whole house, like filling up with this choir sound. And I, 3 or 4. I mean, it was like jarring. I was worried. I didn't understand. My mom went home. My dad, it was just my dad there. And it was coming out of the TV and it was just this, what, this big sound just swelling. And I was like alarmed. And I looked at my dad. I'm like, oh God, what's happening? And all of a sudden, like Mark Knopfler, or I guess it's really Sting, you know, bust through. It's like, I want my MTV. And I was like,
Oh.
Yeah, and I see, then I'm watching my dad play air drums and air guitar and realizing like, no, this is a joyful thing. This isn't scary. And this is, you know, but that, I mean, musical influences are all over the place, but a lot of it's my dad. He's a guitarist and had 100 bands and has all the stories from them. And I appreciate that he made sure I was listening to a lot of like classic rock and folk music growing up. So that's where that comes from.
Yeah. When did you say you didn't really start writing until COVID, but obviously you were doing something musical prior, because I know the Crickets were together prior to that. And so you must have been writing with them.
Yeah. I was writing, never for other people though. Never like with the end game to be a song for someone else. It was always, I'm writing a song for us or with my band to play to people. Yeah.
Nice. And what made it about COVID? Was it really just the, I can't play live, so I have to do something?
Yeah, I love writing. I love the moment when you feel that song click in, you know, and you know that you finally hit a pocket with it and you know that something's working. And once I did that a couple of times and, you know, had that moment with the Crickets and felt like I wanted to just recreate that a whole lot more. And, COVID, I mean, I was in my husband's bar band. He had a band called the Bow Spring Band, and we play, you know, exactly what you'd expect on the weekends, you know, and have done that for years and years and years. Like, as long as I've been with the Crickets, I've probably been with the Bow Spring Band longer. And they were, that's an insane musical outlet. If you want to go sing Give Me Shelter and Janis Joplin on the weekends, you know, and like have that come out and then, you know, go do the rest of your week, it's definitely a cathartic thing. But I had that band, and then I also had the Crickets. So I had this, and I was doing probably 150, 200 dates a year for like 3 years. And it was so, it was so much music for it to just stop, or at least in the vehicle that I was used to it in. You know, I was used to, you show up, you sweat and set up your gear, and you do have an awkward sound check, and you know, you blow it out for 3 hours and then you break it all down and try to go to the gas station for a sandwich and then go home and go crash in bed and do it again the next day. That's what life was. And then it just all stopped. And I was desperate to feel musical connection. I missed the people. I missed the crowds. I missed the playing. I missed the feeling when you're in a band and everybody just hits the pocket. Everybody just hits the moment. And you know, like, you can have a lot of shitty gigs, but you can also have, like, you keep doing it because there are moments in the set that are wonderful. They're like a drug, and I just missed it. So that's where the writing came from, or the need to go figure out how to co-write with other people and expand on that.
You're obviously great at it.
Thank you.
Where You Belong's killer.
Thank you.
I'm thankful you sent me a little early link.
I know, you're the first one.
Oh yeah. I feel super special. I'm gonna tell Wes. I listened to it like 3 times today, and just while I was working at my desk and everything. And you must have a different process, or I say you must, I think maybe just cause I do. When I'm writing for myself, my process is a little bit one way. When I'm writing with other people, my process of songwriting is different. What are yours different, or what's your whole creative process like? Is it similar, or is it different every time?
Well, I got to tell you, like, so during the COVID scene, I had been working with a producer. His name's Scott Feldman. He lives out in Santa Monica, far from me. We've never met, but we have done several projects together where we did sync projects together. So if he needed a folky vocalist on something, he would call me and we would do like a packet, you know, like, here's 5 songs, and we would sell it to whoever, whatever music library wanted 5 songs of that. style. And so we'd worked together a long time, but we had pulled back from the pile that we were selling, like these four little songs. We're like, oh, we like these too much. Do you want to just release it? And you can be the artist.
You know, just, he tricked you.
Yeah, he did. And so we did that. And, but my world really changed with writing for myself. Cause I, when I was writing for myself, I would say that I'd be like writing a song. I would primarily sing on a Crickets album before. Mm-hmm. Then it switched to, oh no, you're like going to be an artist. You're going to be an actual, like with capital A, and you're going to act like it and like do all the things that, yeah, all the social media things and all the stuff you're supposed to do. Ugh. I know, deep breaths, but
I know.
But we released this little EP, and within 3 months I had sent, and just, I want to go back to like, this is for the creative out there thinking, like getting cynical as hell, thinking nothing can ever happen. I want you to know this is an actual story that happened to me. I would have 100% told the world it's not possible before this happened. So yeah, just to give you hope, to the listener out there, we released this little EP. I had no expectation for it, zero. I was like, I don't ever expect to see it on the Spotify thing, ever have the actual 1,000 spins mark, you know, like I never expect to see any response to this. I just want to try. And we put it out, and within 3 months, someone on Submit Hub, which is a website you submit your things to like for different reviews or different Spotify playlists or that kind of thing if you're an indie musician, I'd submitted something. I don't even think the guy put my song on his playlist. He was just, but this beautiful human being forwarded my song to a record label in the UK and said, hey, I think this girl really matches your vibe. I know you're not signing anybody else, but like, here's a song I think matches you. And I got the, like, it looks scammy. I was like, you know, email from the record label. Yeah, right. I got
in the UK.
In the UK. I'm like, sure, man. So I didn't answer him like the first three times. And it ended up, I'm so stupid. I mean, but it's so cynical. Dan Pearson, if you're listening to this, you can laugh. But I finally realized who Dan was, and I was like, oh, this guy actually, like,
oh, this is legit.
He's very legit, my bad. And I emailed him back, and he just wanted to have like a, you know, a Zoom FaceTime or whatever with me and Scott, and just talk a little bit about the record. He was like, I'm in love with this song, and I would like to re-release it, but with my power behind it, with my Spotify connections and my, you know, whatever a record label has that independent artists don't have. And of course, we took him up on it and said, go for it. But then, like, I mean, I'm flabbergasted. I'm still dumbfounded. I can't believe it when I look at my name and it has any spins next to it at all. But to have millions is surreal. It's surreal. And it's crazy.
That's crazy.
And this guy changed my world. I mean, what's nuts is I don't even know who did it. I don't even know this person.
Oh, that's
who
crazy.
Is the Spotify playlister on Submit Hub who forwarded my music to Dan Pearson. I still don't know that. I guess I could ask Dan. But I thank you to the universe and to him for doing that. But I just want to give people hope that, like, you don't know. And it was just a random, you know, like, I don't know, $50 campaign of me submitting my stuff. And for whatever reason, like, that one hit. So I don't remember what your question was, Lee, I'm sorry. But to get back to what's the difference between writing for yourself and writing for someone else is, I'm kind of new to the game is what I'm mean to say. I'm new to the, I go into an artist room and now I'm the artist. And I freeze. I'm like, I don't know. What do we do? I don't know how to act. I don't know what to do. And I have really gracious, beautiful humans, co-writer friends who like totally have been so good to me. And on this particular single coming out, Scott is responsible for a lot of the music and some of the lyrics. But then Eric Erdman is a songwriter, one of the best I've ever heard. I invited him to come. Like, you don't ever do this. I don't ever bring a half written song to somebody. That's like a no, no in co-writer land. Like, you don't, I don't do that. Because I was like trying to fulfill artist diva role now, you know, I was like, well, I guess I can do what I want. So I bring this half written song to my friend and I'm like, hi, will you help me form this into something better than it is? And he did. And man, like, between the three of us, Scott's really our music guy. But then Scott also, and I don't ever tell him I said this, but he is he's a brilliant lyricist. He's so good. And he sends me these voice memos of, melodies sometimes where he just like is, he's got a melody sort of that he's humming around on a guitar, but he'll hum these inaudible things into his phone. Like, they're not words. They're just,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just melodies. Yeah.
Except occasionally he'll sneak a word in there that I don't think he means, but I'll end up like taking the vibe and like trying to make it work. So Scott's sort of still a lyricist, you know.
He's sneaky.
Yeah. But we just make it all work. But I think the difference between the two is that like I feel so much more comfortable in the role of helping someone else than being in the spotlight and saying, oh, these are my words and I'm going to be, you know, this is me. And I'm going to have to go out and convince people to listen to this and like it and get real personal telling people about why I wrote this or what I mean by it. You know, all that stuff is very scary. Whereas if it's for the artist, so it's on the artist, so I don't have to worry. But I don't know. It's a silly perspective, but that's why it's different to me.
Do you, as an artist, do you just sit down, grab your guitar and start writing? Or do you start with an idea? Do you ever write alone? Let me ask you that.
I do. And a lot of times, at least right now in the process, like, the first few songs I wrote for the Crickets albums that are on the Crickets albums that are solo rights, I just wrote and that was that. And I still love them and they're good songs, but I've come to believe so much in co-writing. I just believe if I put another really smart, brilliant person in the room with that song that nine times out of 10, we're going to improve it that day. We're going to improve it somehow. And I used to have a lot of, pride about that, or I was scared that it wouldn't represent me. And now I'm like, hell no, I want all my friends. You a friend of mine? I want you on this ride with me. I want to invite them all because I don't feel like I have anything to prove anymore. I don't feel like, oh, well, you know, no one will think I'm a good writer if it's not just me on this record. I want other people, you know, to say like, I'm on this song with millions of streams on it. I'm a writer. I want that. And before I was like a little selfish about it because I was scared that it would be reflective of me as a writer. And I feel like that's crazy now.
I think that's a huge thing for you to admit though, because I think as creative people, everybody struggles with proving themselves. Imposter syndrome's real. You know, I feel it every day as a guitar player or a songwriter or producer or whatever I'm doing that day. My worst fear as a creative person is I'm going to be found out.
Oh God. You know? Well, I think we all feel that way.
Yeah. But I don't know that we talk about it enough. And cause when you're in a room with people, especially new people, or you want to be brilliant at a moment's notice and you want to be impressive to a degree, at least to the point where you get invited back or you can make a living, you know? And so like, it's a huge thing to admit that. And you said, you know, you felt like you did have something to prove years ago. There's something in the joy of maybe somebody younger's listening to this, who's writing starting a songwriting career, just getting into it. Like, don't be afraid of that from the beginning. Like, because the nature of it is you end up feeling pretty alone as a creative person. And then you have
no idea why the world doesn't care about this piece of art that you literally like have blood and tears. Like, that is not an exaggeration. There is blood and tears on that track. I don't know how you got it in there, but it's in there. And mm-hmm. you, you're, the pain of no one caring or the world not giving a shit is so hard. There is so much joy in having, and to me as a creative, like I've never, music for me, the joy is, I always have a lot more joy with it when it's shared. I don't love to play solo. I love playing in bands because I want to sing harmony with someone. I want to have the moment where we all feel this together and we all gave that. And I don't love being alone in that endeavor. Of course, everyone wants the limelight and the limelight's awesome. And hopefully you're in a band with people who are generous with that light and want to pass the pass the baton several times during the show. But I've done the release something and no one cares. And they tell you just keep doing that until someone does. And yes, there's something to that. But all I can say is my experience is that I want the joy of this shared joy. I'm glad that there is at least two other human beings in the world and they're my co-writers on this song and give a shit about it. I'm glad that like they are happy to see it grow wings and be released and they contributed to it. And it was, if it's successful, then they get sharing that too. And that's so fun. That's way better. And I want to be the reason they get to sing a song and say, hey, we just released this and wow, we can't believe how many spins it has. This is this new song and we're so proud of it. I want another person doing that about that song, not just me. So yeah, I totally agree. I think that is, but that's also a maturity thing too. It took me a long time to understand that. It takes releasing some things and seeing it be received very poorly by the world. Are you not understanding how, your friends and family are not your fans. And when you can't even get them to care, you can't even get them to like freak out about your new single, it can be what you said. It can be so lonely. And
well, it is. It's interesting too, because so many people, because of the nature of, I guess the availability of equipment and the availability of, education, via YouTube or whatever it may be, there's so many people releasing music now. And I mean, when I was college, high school, like I remember the first time I saw a CD burner and I was like, what? You can like make a CD like in this box? Like, I just remember, I mean, I worked on tape. I'm that old. And like, it just blows my mind. And so like, it is a little bit, there's been a little bit of dilution in the magic of like Where You Belong, the new song that didn't exist. And now it's like in the air forever. And it's like this own unique thing. And every song is at White Flags that way. Like that song didn't exist. And what it said, like it didn't exist. And now it exists. That's like the magic of art, whether it's like graphic design or film or photography, or it didn't exist and now it exists. And that always will blow my mind. But because of like, we can take a million pictures with our camera or we can record video, everything's just so readily. I think it's still magical. It's just our concept of it. I think we've diluted the magic a little bit of it. And so I hope if as a creative person, one of the things I'm trying to do better is just like celebrate when I finish a project. Well,
yes,
and it's not always easy, but you said something about your co-writers and I'm getting to something. Sorry, I'm rambling a little bit, but, finding your people like is one of the biggest things that's been helpful to me as a creative person. It sounds like it has been for you too. You keep mentioning those couple of co-writers, like you write with a lot of different people, cool people, great people. But when you find like, you're like two or three people that are like in your corner and they're going to help you celebrate. That's super powerful. Seems like it's been for you too.
It's just, to me, it is the experience. It makes it all worth it. I mean, it's really cool to have like, to say, look at me, I have music out on this platform and no one cares. It has spins, but nobody around me cares. Cause it's like, why would they, I think that you're right. Like to have this experience be shared and to know, I mean, I don't know another word for it. Like there's just nothing. It's like a drug to me. It is just to be in a room with another writer who wants to, who is right here with you. And like, they, y'all are just, you know, you're just popping off each other. Like, you know, you're just on the same plane and you're creating something that, just like you said, didn't exist 3 hours ago. And you can walk out of a room and there is a song now, and you both kind of love it. And you, and no one in the world may ever hear this song, but you are both singing it on the way home. And you can't get it out of your head. You wake up the next morning thinking about it. Oh, I think we got a demo of this. I think we just have to. And then it turns into a thing. And then it turns into a thing that influences a lot more people if, you know, you put some love into it and release it into the world, and other people find some joy in it too. It's just, it's like, what, for me, what music is a collaborative effort. I wish that it was... sometimes it would be easier probably if it was just like, if I could just lock myself in a studio and that brought me all the joy I ever needed and I didn't care about the collaborative stuff. But I do a lot more now than I did. And I used to think that was the answer. I used to think, well, if I was just better at, you know, whatever DAW I was using or whatever musical program I was into, or if I was just a better guitar player, if I was just a better singer, if I could just do demos better or quicker, then, you know, my life would be right. And the truth is, it's like, no, I think everyone's exactly where they're supposed to be. They really are. And for me, while I've got tons of room for improvement in a million different areas, when it comes to like what you truly love and what you're passionate about, you're going to put the time into that. Probably, if you're chasing it, you're going to put the time into that to be pretty good at it. Or at least get to a point that I always want to be writing with people who are better than me. I want to learn from them. I get schooled almost every session I'm in by something they do, whether they're just a kick-ass, you know, artist and like just blow me away. They could sing the stupid phone book and I'm just like, oh my God, like, it doesn't matter what we say. Or if it's a writer who's, you know, just is over there quietly looking like they're bored and on their phone, but really they just wrote the whole first verse and blew all of anything else we said away. You know, like, I don't know. I think it's amazing. And songwriting to me, that is the high. That, I love the performance part of it too. Don't get me wrong. I do. But it's the writing that makes it fun. And I don't love to hang out with myself that much. I'd have another smarter person in the room to vibe on. And so, you know, co-writing has, that's where the co-writing love like really comes from for me, I think.
Man, that's awesome. I appreciate you hanging out. This is a great conversation. They always go by so fast when it's fun, you know?
I appreciate you having me so much. I know that you have some amazing guests that are coming on your podcast during this season, and I can't wait to listen to all of them, and I feel really lucky to be included in it. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to make sure everybody follow Lauren on social media. It's just at Lauren__, right?
Yeah.
Spring. And then laurenspringsongs.com. You can find everything there. Go check out Where You Belong. Go check out The Crickets' new single, Pay No Mind. It's also out now. White Flag with Weston T. Hines out. I'm assuming there's more music coming. So keep up with everything Lauren's got going on. Lauren, thank you so much for being on.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Lee.
Yeah, great conversation. What a cool person. Definitely go check out all her stuff and look for some tour dates and things like that. You know, as stuff starts releasing, I'm sure Lauren's going to be out on the road. I know with The Crickets, they play a lot, and with her solo stuff as well. So make sure you check out all her stuff. Check out the featured record of the week, Ray, R-A-Y-E, and her record, My 21st Century Blues. Make sure that you're following MyFi at MyFi Podcast on all the socials, and myself at Lee T. Baker on all the socials. And subscribe wherever you're at. Appreciate you sticking around for the show. Have a great one. Till next time.